Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Whether you're watching for the first time or you're simply catching up on a message that you missed, we're so glad that you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you'll experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word Give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. Thanks so much for joining us today.
All right, I'm going to ask you as we go to God's Word to stand in the sanctuary. Those of you who stand out of respect for God's Word, at home you're welcome to do that also. We're in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start at verse 1. I want you to read out loud with me. I'm going to read one verse and then you'll read the next. You'll follow Pastor Debbie. We're starting in chapter 28, verse 1 of Matthew. Hear the word of the Lord. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Verse 2.
Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it.
His face shone like lightning, and his clothes was as a white as snow. Verse 4.
The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint.
Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified.
He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said it would happen. Come, see where his body was lying.
And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you."
The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message.
And as they went, Jesus met them, greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him.
Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there."
As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened.
A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe.
They told the soldiers, "You must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body.
If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble."
So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it to today.
Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go.
When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted.
Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Let's pray. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now, "Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening." And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat. Well, today's a celebration, yes or no? And when you have a celebration, you got to dress up. So you'll see me in a bow tie every now and then, but I don't know of a greater day than to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. That's the greatest of all celebrations, yeah? I know weddings are incredibly fun and a joy for all who attend, but there's nothing like celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection is actually the most controversial event in the history of the world. Why is that so? Partially because it calls us to a hard fact, a fact that will impact all of us. There are facts that happen in history that have no impact on our today. The fact that Jimmy Carter was the president in the 70s may not affect your day-to-day today. But the fact that Jesus rose from the dead causes you and I to make a decision, whether we agree or whether we disagree with it. The other challenge with the resurrection is that we are kind of created in a world that is scientific and naturalism, that we can figure it all out. But the resurrection is supernatural. It's above description and understanding. Therefore, for some folks, it's a really challenging thing. I'm reminded of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 when he said, if in fact Jesus did not raise from the dead, we are to be pitied more than all people. But if he did, Revelation 20 says, Satan, as you saw up here, was truly defeated. Today, I'm going to just share two things with you. I'm going to show you, I believe, clearly that, number one, Jesus did raise from the dead. And number two, if that is the truth, that it impacts all of us for eternity. So now I'm going to do what I've been practicing all week, and that is to go into a boxing ring. I got to confess something to you. When I was trying it before y'all came, I about fell off these steps. I may think that I'm 20, but my body says otherwise. So pray for me as I get under here. Oh yeah, now you got to clap. I made it. This is our symbol for Golgotha. This was the moment in which humanity as we know it was completely changed. The battle of the ages was before us. And in this moment, what do we see? We see Satan doing his best to destroy Jesus, the Son of God, who is in perfect unity with the Father. And when he walked into that ring at Golgotha, Satan was ready to do his 1-2. But Jesus did something that surprised everybody. He took his gloves and he threw them on to the side of the ring. And people were like, what are you gonna do? And to everybody's astonishment, and now hindsight we know occurred, he took his hands and he raised them defenseless. And with one mighty blow, Satan hit. And we know with that hit, Jesus fell to die. And the devil and his demons cried out in victory while God the Father turned his face. 3 days later, they thought it was all over. But something crazy started happening. The earth started to shake. And the reality of God the Father allowing Jesus to rise from the dead changed everything. What I want you to realize is that we live in a skeptical world, as I've already said. And as a result, it becomes really difficult for us to understand, did in fact Jesus do this? Many will say that his followers simply did this. They basically took a moment to, after Jesus died, to make up this thing called the resurrection so that the movement could continue. We know that that was basically impossible. The resurrection did occur, and I want you to know that it occurred in such a way, there are a lot of reasons for that. The first that I would say to you is this. The New Testament documents themselves are the most reliable document as it relates to history. Did you know there's a science of history that enables us to know if a document is actually true or not? There's actually a science. And if I use the illustration of Aristotle's writing or Socrates' writing, the first thing you will realize about them is that from the original copy of their writing to the first, from the original to the copy, over 1,000 years, and nobody questions the validity. This science of history says this: the way you know a historical document is accurate is the closer it is to the original makes it more accurate. 1,000 years between their writings and the copies. The second thing is this: how many copies are there? There was just a few for Aristotle and Socrates. The New Testament, only 100 years between the actual event of Jesus' death and resurrection and the first copy. And not only that, not just a few copies, over 5,600 copies without any contradiction whatsoever. And the Gospel of Matthew, which we just read from, was written only 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus. What do we know from what we read? That the people who were there were still alive when Matthew wrote it. What does that say to us? That if in fact they were making something up, those around them could have easily refuted it. There would have been writings all over the place that simply said this did not occur. We have 1 Corinthians 15 that declares 500 people saw Jesus at once after the resurrection. You find 5 people that can collaborate the same story, I'd love to see it. Nonetheless, 500 who did not contradict one another, that in fact they saw Jesus, had been raised from the dead. you and I need to understand, secondly, is that it said here, we read in verse 5 and 7, who were the first to see the resurrection? Women. How many women could put their hands together and say it was the women that were the first to see the resurrection? Now, we clap for that today. But if you're making an argument for the resurrection, you would skip over women. Why? Because in that day and age, the testimony of a woman was not valid in court. So you would quickly jump to maybe John or Peter. But they did neither. They actually put in the scripture, 30 years after, that it was women who actually saw the resurrection and made that information known to the disciples. The reality is this, it must have happened. Otherwise, why would they have actually put it in? The third argument is this. Well, the first century folks, God bless them, they were just gullible. You know, they weren't as sophisticated as us. They don't have the IQ of today. Let me just say this about the IQ. There's no empirical evidence that we as humanity have somehow gained in our IQ. C.S. Lewis calls that chronological snobbery. We may have advanced in technology, but I don't think our IQ has gotten so bright, right? And when we look at this, the crazy thing about this entire thing is that this group of people, they doubted. They weren't gullible. Verse 17, we read it. They had seen Jesus raised from the dead, and they were like, wait a minute, I don't know what I had, if I had pizza or something last night, but this can't be. Why? The Jewish people, in which were the first to encounter Jesus, this was totally outside of their paradigm. Number one, they believed in the resurrection, but not in the middle of history. The resurrection was only going to happen at the end of history. So that flipped everything upside down. Number two, they did not believe that God could come in flesh form. Simply not possible. They were skeptics beyond skeptics. Some of you may say, wait a minute, wasn't Lazarus resurrected? Wasn't Jairus' daughter resurrected? No, they were revived because they died eventually. Resurrection means you are raised to life forever. So I ask you tonight or this morning, for anybody that's in the room and those of you online, if you're skeptical today, what would it take? What kind of evidence would you need that would make you, enable you to believe that in fact Jesus rose from the dead? What would it take? My guess is that the first century Jewish person needed a whole lot more than you would need. And they must have seen it because it changed the course of their lives. I believe clearly that in fact the resurrection did occur for these simple truths. If that is true, then my second point is clear, and that is this. The resurrection changes our lives for eternity. Changes our lives for eternity. Let me use the disciples themselves. Prior to the resurrection, if you're a Bible reader, these men were all about themselves. They were all about positioning themselves. They were insecure. They were fearful. They were selfish. And when rubber hit the road, they scattered. You know what I'm talking about, right? They were all about them. What happened inside of these men that they, before the resurrection, were this way, and then after the resurrection, and they saw what Jesus was talking about, and then Pentecost happened and the Holy Spirit came upon them, that they went out and they changed the world. Five died by crucifixion. We know this is a historical fact, my friend. Peter himself crucified upside down because he was not considered worthy to be crucified like his Lord. We know that clearly Thomas, who was the doubter of all doubts, was speared to death as he went to India. James, brother of Jesus, was stoned. James, son of Zebedee, died with a sword. What caused this change for eternity? The fact is, they experienced the resurrection, and it changed the course of their lives. Have you experienced this? I will tell you in my own life, when my wife and I lived in the Middle East and 9/11 occurred, I always said that I would do whatever God wanted me to do. I would sacrifice whatever He wanted me to sacrifice. But it wasn't until I was in that situation that the United States ambassador told me to alter my routes because I was a target, because everybody in the country knew who I was because of our humanitarian effort. And in that time, Americans were dying simply because they're American. That was the political world in which I found myself in. I came to the point in my life, do I really believe this? It's easy to sit in a Sunday morning, in a resurrection Sunday morning, and say hallelujah. It's another thing when you're out where the rubber meets the road, and do you truly, truly believe it? And in that moment, something happened inside of me like it happened to the disciples, that I knew that I believed this, and if I was the last man standing, I would still stand. My question is, has that occurred for you? Have you experienced that kind of resurrection power that changes the course of your life? My friends, no one dies for a lie. I'll say it again. People don't die for a lie. Now we look at this and we understand this, and the impact of eternity is for all of us. The first thing that I would say to you is how this eternity impacts us is that we see in verse 18 of chapter 20 is this. We have the assurance that Jesus is victorious. In other words, we use this, I don't want you to confuse, we use this boxing ring, but this was not a dualism. You go, what's dualism, Pastor? That's kind of like we like to sit and watch this cosmic duel between Satan and God, and kind of like our Star Wars themes, between the force and the dark side, and we wonder who's gonna win. I'm here to declare to you today, that's simply not the case as it relates to this moment. There wasn't a dualism coming on. Jesus had already won. The fact of the matter is he came into the ring for you and me. He put his gloves off for you and me. It wasn't whether he won or whether he was gonna lose it. He wanted to experience our punishment so that we could be free. And he took his gloves off for that. And you and I need to understand, in verse 18 he says, and I've been given all authority. It's done. All authority. Regardless of what you're seeing happening in our society today, all the challenges all around us, I'm here to tell you today that we have the assurance that even though we live in the conflict of a world that is fallen, we have the hope of a kingdom that is soon to come and a spiritual kingdom that lives in our hearts for those that believe. Can I get an amen? The second thing is, he is the reason why he's the resurrection impacts us for eternity is this. He's our champion that has conquered sin. He's conquered sin. Now tell me if this has ever been you. Have you ever been to church occasionally and you had a great experience, or maybe it's a retreat and you heard a really good speaker, and after that event was over, something inside of you welled up and you're like, I'm gonna be a better person because of that moment. I'm gonna be a better mom. I'm gonna be a better dad. I'm gonna be a better leader, and I'm gonna be a better neighbor. I'm gonna really try hard. Anybody been there, done that? Then, immediately going away, you go out and you do actually the opposite of what you wanted to do. You screw up. Did you know that's biblical? Romans 7 says, Paul said, every time I wanna do good, I do bad. Every single time. And Jesus knew this. And what did he say? I'm going to win the victory for you. I'm gonna take your place so that you don't have to be controlled by sin anymore. Let me illustrate it this way. He took, this is a boxing robe, but it isn't the kind of robe that I'm really talking about. This robe represents boxers. But in Isaiah 61:10, do you know what it says? That you and I are clothed with a robe of what? Righteousness. None of us can earn this robe, by the way. Isaiah says, the prophet, long before Jesus, what did he say? He said he was bloodied for us. He was beaten beyond recognition. He was nailed to a cross. He was beaten. He was without hope in that moment. And he took our place so that we could be champions over sin. And do you know what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 when you put this robe on? No temptation has seized you what is common to all of us. But God is faithful. He will not allow any of you to be tempted beyond that which you can stand. But every time he will provide a way out. And when it comes, what does he say? 2 Corinthians 10. And he gives you and I divine weapons to stand our ground and to battle him. This makes it possible for us today. He is the champion that has the authority. He is the champion over sin, but he's also the champion that has made it possible that we are no longer separated. We're no longer alone. Hear me out. On the camera, because of Corona, you may or may not have known this, but America, with all of our technology and all of our comforts, comparison to all the other countries of the world, statistically, it was done that we are the loneliest country on the planet. And then you add Corona into it, and we had quite a year. I have some good news for you. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, you are never alone again. Ever. You are never alone again. Verse 20 says, and I am with you, where? To the very end of the age. Romans 8 says, and absolutely nothing, you name it, nothing will be able to separate you from me, from my love. Not even death or life, angels or demons, the present or the future, nor anything else in creation will ever separate you from me. That's what the resurrection did. Psalm 90 says, I choose to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty for all of my days. Why? Luke chapter 23, when he died in that ring, in that Golgotha, the curtain was torn, and the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, was unleashed, not just on the Jews, but on everybody. If you're lonely today, and you're tired today, I'm here to tell you, he already made it possible that you and I could no longer feel alone and without hope. What an incredible thought. He's also our champion that has conquered death. Death itself. 1 John says, because of the death of Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear death any longer. Yes, physical death will occur, but we're talking spiritual death is no more. The sting of it is gone. Let me illustrate it this way. It's been a tough few weeks for our family. And then this week, my dad calls me and says that he has a life and death procedure that's gonna happen. Tomorrow we'll find out what that procedure will be. What we know, it's with his heart, is that if in fact he doesn't have the procedure, he will die. And he'll find out what the procedure is, and after he finds out what the procedure is, he could die in the procedure. Because they have to literally probably take his entire heart out to fix it. He's already had open heart surgery, he's 82. It's not a really good scenario. So he and I started talking on the phone. And he said to me, well, if I die while I'm on the table, I guess I'll just wake up in heaven. And I said, Dad, if that occurs, you will be more alive than I have ever been alive. And you will know like I have never known. Because what does the scripture say? Now we see but a poor reflection. But one day very soon, what will we do? We will see face to face. So much death around us this past year. Not one of us immune from it. Life is cruel. I'll just call it out. Life can be very, very cruel. But because of Jesus' work on the cross, he gives us what we need to get through a fallen world that has turned its back on him. And I'm here to declare hope to us today. And he has conquered death like nobody's business. How many of you today are needing this? How many people are needing a champion? Anybody need a champion over pain today? Come on. Anybody needing a champion over loss? Anybody suffering loss today? Anybody struggling with doubt? Anybody doubting today? We have a champion that can overcome your doubt. Anybody struggling with their addiction or their selfishness? Anybody with their anger? He is able to give us exactly what we need in that moment. Now that's only possible because of what he did on the cross. Because lastly, I want to say to you, our champion offers us eternal life for everyone. Every single one of you. Wherever you are, whatever you are, even if you're ticked off at God, let me just say to you this. God can handle it. He's got big shoulders, right? He can handle your frustration, your anger, your doubt, your whys. He can handle it. Do you remember what Jesus, he preached the greatest sermon of all time? The Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember that sermon? Do you remember what he said? And on that day, verse chapter 7, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. They knew him, right? Lord, Lord. Did we not cast out demons and heal the sick and perform many miracles? And he says to them, depart from me, for I never knew you. Later on, he says, the verse I don't like, for broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter it. And narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and only a few find it. What's he saying? He's saying that inside of all of us, in that particular group, they would call themselves Christians. Lord, Lord. They even did good things, did they not? Helping and doing ministry. But here's the problem. In all other religions, and even inside Christianity itself, is that we think that somehow by our actions and by our efforts and by going to church on Easter, somehow we've appeased God. Let me make it very clear to you. You can't work for your salvation. It's only a gift from God, and it's only by faith. There's got to be a moment where we all simply say, I believe by faith that you are the way. You've got to have this supernatural experience. Otherwise, what I'm saying to you today makes no sense whatsoever. Many of us think it's a works mentality, but it's a relationship. That's what he's saying. So broad is the road because many people are trying to do it. You can't. It's kind of like we believe that God grades on a curve. How many of you think that? I'm not that bad. I'm a good dude compared to that and that. Surely I can get in, God. You don't understand who God is. None of us can get in. We've all fallen short. That's why he went to the cross. Listen clearly, folks. If we could get there by ourselves, we would not need a cross and we would not need a resurrection. We would not need a savior. And for all of those who've tried to do it by themselves, how's that working for you? It's very simple, Jesus said, as we come to him. He gives the story of two people praying in the temple. And this is the church today. The religious, thank you, Lord, hallelujah, glory. I'm so glad I'm not like them. We don't say that, but we think it. And then there's the other one. He's down on his knees. He can't lift his head. Oh God, have grace on me. Forgive me, for I'm a sinner and I'm messed up. I'm so messed up. Please help me. Which one is closer to the kingdom? We know clearly it's the one who realizes I can't and he can. So today I call you out. There are two kinds of groups of people here today. Maybe there's three. The first group is everything I've said at this moment resonates with you and you're like, yes. Second group, Pastor, I've known this my entire life, but life has happened. A death, a struggle, a loss, a bad choice. And God and me were kind of here. I didn't ask for this, God. I didn't ask for my divorce. I didn't ask for this struggle, but it's there. And all of a sudden, it's affected me with God. He's calling you out today. And then there's the third group. You've been on a journey towards God. And I'm here to tell you today that it's not found in religion. It's not found in a church. I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times. Thank God that we have an incredible, broad body of Christ. Because, you see, I already realize I'm a very hyper dude. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I get it. Thank God that there are a lot of places out there that you can grow in your faith. Does this not make sense to anybody? We come and we say, Lord, here am I. So I call you out today and ask you, are you willing to believe and confess that he died for you, that you can put on the robe of righteousness and allow it? Maybe you need to recommit your life because you've kind of just done this with Jesus and you want to get back close to him. Would you bow your heads with me? And those of you online in your house, would you also bow your heads with me? I'm going to ask the team to come on up. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you would be in our moment here. probably for some people, the most important moment of their life. I pray against all distraction, especially those online, that you would speak with your Holy Spirit. We have celebrated you. We have trusted you. And we're asking right now that you would speak into our hearts. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're in group number two, and you know the truth of what I've just said, but life has happened. And today, I'm gonna ask you to keep the lights up, folks, so I can see the folks. I need the lights to stay up. Thank you. And you need to commit, recommit your life to him today. And you are surprised by the fact that your heart is beating really fast because you know that God's speaking to you. And you wanna recommit your life today. In the privacy of this moment, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you raise your hands? I'll just give a moment. I want to recommit my life to him. Yes. And the second group, you've been on a journey towards God, and you've had it all messed up. Today you want Jesus for the very first time. You don't want religion. You don't want church. You simply want Jesus. Would you raise your hand for the very first time, anybody? And online, what I would love for you to do is just to type the word Jesus so our hosts can engage you. Just type in your feed, Jesus, so they engage you. Here's what I want to do for those of you who raised your hands and for those of you online that either recommitted your life or you said Jesus to Jesus for the very first time, I'm gonna say a prayer of commitment. I'm gonna ask all of us to repeat this prayer out loud and those of you online to do the same. Would you do that with me? Just as a form of recommitment for all of us on this Resurrection Sunday. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for all that I've done. Please forgive me. I surrender. I surrender my life. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for me. I ask you now to come into my heart and to change me from this day forward. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen.